talk sports with Evan and Tiki. Middays 10 to 2. WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1 New York. And Odyssey Sports Station.
Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Dude's dogs damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Lugie. If you're tuning in right now expecting to hear Susan Waldman, if you're tuning in right now expecting to hear Dave Sin, if you're tuning in right now and you're expecting to hear Yankee baseball, well, there's no Yankee game tonight. The game got rained out. It got apparently tornadoed out. There's a lot of bad weather in the area, and it's projected for, you know, at least till 1 in the morning. So earlier this afternoon, the Yankees banged the game. There will be a doubleheader tomorrow, 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock, which means two things. You get a doubleheader tomorrow of Yankee baseball, a little double dip. And tonight, you get a five-hour after hours. A big Lugowski will do an Ask Tommy Anything coming up later on in the show. And we'll start with the Yankees, because if you can't hear the Yankees, we'll just talk Yankees here at 7 o'clock. And two things I want to start with here. And first, it's the trade deadline, because there have been more names that have kind of come to the surface here in the last 24 hours. The first one being Shea Langeliers, the outstanding catcher with the Athletics. And to me, he's a guy that you, if you're Brian Cashman, you push all your chips in the middle to acquire. He's a power-hitting, right-handed catcher that could be a huge addition for the Yankees. He's exactly what they need. He's exactly what they need. And if the price tag is a little too high on a Hunter Goodman, or you want to go more big game hunting. Now, Goodman is big game hunting, but if you drop down a level, nothing against Ryan Jeffers, but he's not, to me, on the level of a Hunter Goodman. Insert Shea Langeliers, who I think is on the level of Hunter Goodman. They're both in their mid to late 20s. Langeliers has had over 100 home runs in the last 3.5 years. He is one of the premier power hitting catchers in all of baseball. He's striking out Langeliers is a little bit too much for my liking this year, but last year he was right around 100. Well, when you consider the power and you consider the modern game of baseball and how many strikeouts there are, when you're right around 100, that's not too shabby. So if I'm Brian Cashman, Langeliers would be a guy, Shea Langeliers, that I would be all in on. I'd push all my chips to the middle to acquire him in the next 2 weeks. The other name, and this is a guy that I like a lot, but there's a butt coming, and not the J-Lo butt, not two butts, one butt, one T. And that is Zach Neto. I like Zach Neto, but he strikes out way too much. And when I say strikes out, I mean he literally strikes out at a clip that is just absolutely off the charts bad. He's got a lot of power. He's got some speed. I do like him. He's in his mid-20s. There are things that about his game that I think really, really, really would be a huge addition to a baseball team. And the Yankees, when it comes to shortstop, look, whether you love Caballero or you're lukewarm on him, or whether you hate Volpe or you think he could blossom into something that the Yankees believe he can be, if Brian Cashman can make an upgrade here in the next couple weeks, I think the Yankees would do that. And Zach Neto apparently is, at least on the trading block right now, that seems to be the story from the Los Angeles. Well, I don't know what they are anymore. It's hard to keep up with the California teams. They used to be the Anaheim, California, Los Angeles. Maybe they're just the Disney Angels at this point. I have no idea really where they're from. They might be just like the Athletics, where they're just the Angels. It's like Prince, where they just have one name. Where the Oakland, it used to be Oakland, now I think it's going to be Vegas. They're the only team that's actually playing somewhere, and they don't go by the place they're playing. They're in Sacramento, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. But yet somehow they're still the Athletics. But yeah, 138 strikeouts for Neto so far this year. 138. It's late July. Neto had 150 strikeouts last year. That's just too many strikeouts. You already have a team that swings and misses a lot. So as much as I like Zach Neto, the butt, one T, not two T's, the one T is butt, he strikes out way too much. And if the Yankees were a team that didn't strike out a lot, then I could welcome aboard a Zach Neto, because I do think there are a lot of things about his game
that I like a lot. Jeremy Pena is another interesting name to sort of sidebar the Zach Neto conversation. The thing that I keep saying about Pena is, and I like his skill set a lot, just in general, and I also think he would be a welcomed addition, Jeremy Pena would be, for the Yankees. What I like about his skill set is high average, doesn't strike out a lot, which is perfect for this Yankee team. But you wonder out loud, A, if the Astros would trade him, and B, if they are open to trading him, would the Astros do business with Brian Cashman and the Yankees? Because Brian Cashman, and I understand where he's coming from, but Brian Cashman has besmirched the Astros a lot in recent years, really for a lot of years, ever since the whole cheating scandal. So it's entirely possible that Houston says, you know what, we're not going to do business with the Yankees. We're definitely not going to send them a young player like this, like Pena, who could help them, you know, go to the next level. But slowly but surely, the trickling out of teams that are selling have come to the forefront. We know about the Giants, obviously, locally. We know about the Mets. That story came out of SNY, Chelsea Janes, on Thursday. And we'll get to the Mets coming up here in just a little bit. But now you're hearing the Athletics, you're hearing the Angels. The Rockies seem like they would trade Hunter Goodman. This is according to Ken Rosenthal. But it would require a lot of high-end prospects in return, which makes total sense. I mean, Hunter Goodman is still under control for a couple years. He's an all-star caliber catcher. He hits 30-plus home runs a year. He's in the prime of his career, just entering the prime of his career, Hunter Goodman is. So you weren't going to, if you were the Yankees or any team, get him for a song and a dance. That makes total sense to me, that Colorado would want a lot back for him. And if you're looking for the big swing from the Yankees, I still think it would come from the catcher department, a Goodman, a Langoliers. I don't see it coming from a starting pitcher like a Scooble. I've been very adamant about that. I just, if it were me and I'm the Yankees, I'm Brian Cashman, I would not trade for Tarik Scooble. And we're going off of the assumption that he's going to be available, meaning Detroit has waved the white flag. I don't think it's going to come in the department of a closer the likes of Mason Miller, because I just don't think San Diego ultimately will part ways with him. I think it's going to be one of those things where this is just a guess, pure speculation. Mason Miller's name is going to be mentioned a lot. We'll get to trade deadline day, and all you hear is Mason Miller. Ken Phelps. My baseball people kept telling me, Ken Phelps, you don't know what the heck you're doing over there. You're going to hear Mason Miller over and over and over and over again. And then when Mason Miller doesn't get traded, all the baseball pundits will come on the air and reporters and say, well, listen, the asking price was just way too high. In San Diego, the years of control, and you know the deal. You got to spice up the trade deadline. You got to throw out a bunch of sexy names. I understand that. And then when they don't get traded, it's, well, the asking price was too high. But I think that's what's going to happen with Mason Miller. Because the Padres, quite frankly, shouldn't trade him. It's a team that spent a lot of money, good for them, but it's also a team that has not won a World Series ever. They have a very loyal fan base. We know the Chargers split town, and the Padres have been loyal to that city. I think you see it through, especially with a guy like Mason Miller, who has years left on his deal. He's under team control to, I think, 2030. And he's the best closer in baseball. Especially when a guy like Edwin Diaz is on the shelf. In my estimation, Mason Miller is not going to get dealt. But we're going to hear his name a lot over the next couple weeks. And then, like I said, deadline day, Mason Miller, Mason Miller, Mason Miller. And then when the clock strikes midnight, or whenever the trade deadline, who the heck, is it midnight, is it 3 p.m., is it 2 p.m.? I feel like that changes every year, too. It's a very special MLB trade deadline. The deadline will be 4:37 and 30 seconds. Great, whatever. Just let me know when the trade deadline is. And I know the date, but just let me know when the time is too. And just stop trying to be all cute with it. Just make it, I don't know, 8 o'clock at night. Make it, well, am I on the air that night? I don't even know when August 3rd is as far as on this. I think it's like a Monday or Tuesday. Who the heck knows? Who looks that far in advance? We get through this week, we go to next week, and then we go from there. The only time I ever look far in advance is when it's something in my social life. Then I could tell you down to the I's and the T's dotted and crossed. But as far as with this, August 3rd, it might be a Tuesday. Either way, it's 2 weeks away. It's rapidly approaching. And once the clock strikes midnight, so to speak, I think Mason Miller will still be a Padre, just like Francisco Lindor will still be a Met. but there will be names on the move. It was a very active trade deadline last year. I expect the same this year. And one of the things you can credit to that is the expanded postseason, where a lot of teams, especially if you're in the American League, I mean, outside of the Los Angeles, former California, currently Anaheim, future Disney Angels, is they're out of it. The former Oakland, future Vegas, current Sacramento, but not really sort of Prince, just one name Athletics, they're trading. They're open for business. They're sellers. The Royals. But outside of that, I mean, Toronto's had a disastrous year. But they spent so much money, I think they're more in the reload category for next year than they would be in the seller market. But if you're in the American League, you got to feel like you have a chance. I mean, look at the Red Sox. I mean, I think they got rained out tonight. They'll win anyway. Even if the game's rained out, they've won 14 in a row. Boston has just been on an all-time heater. They remind me of that heater. Remember they were one of the early scenes of Casino with Ginger, Sharon Stone's character, and she's there with some stiff, and obviously she does. I think she robs him blind, but they're just on an all-time heater at the tables. Great movie, by the way. Sharon Stone, I mean, it still has the fastball. I mean, really, in any sort of decade you want to put with Sharon Stone there, and a Casino is one of those we all know about. Was it Fatal Attraction? No, not Fatal Attraction. That was Glenn Close. What was the one with, I'll get a million tweets about this, Rosenberg's movie knowledge. My movie knowledge is amazing. Rosenberg's movie knowledge is awful. But you know the scene I'm talking about. I can't describe it on the air. But the one that we all, they did a sequel to it too, and it was horrible. It was with Michael Douglas. They did a sequel to it. It was hideous.
I believe you're thinking Basic Instinct.
Correct. Basic Instinct, obviously. I didn't need to go to sex ed. I just watched Basic Instinct. That's it. I could skip the 4 hours of videos that you need to send me or show me. I could just watch 3 seconds of Basic Instinct and know what's going on there. But whether it's that or Ginger in Casino, tremendous. Absolutely. Where was I with all this? Now I'm just thinking about Sharon Stone. Can we just talk about Sharon Stone for the next 5 hours? Do we really need to talk about the Yankees and the trade deadline? I guess we do. We could sort of divert a little bit, but then we have to get back on topic here. And the point is, the Red Sox, much like Sharon Stone in early on in Casino, whatever. We're going to go on a long journey tonight like we go on every single night. And when you get me at 7 o'clock, you get more of me bouncing off the walls. At 11 o'clock, it's more like, and the Mets, and then, remember that Dane Cook, and the Pickles? He thought he was the Burger King. At 10, 11 o'clock, you get maybe a subdued Tommy, which is really, for most people, still bouncing off the walls. But at 7 o'clock, I'm just shot out of a cannon. Because it's a big Lugowski. It's afternoon drive, sort of. I mean, people are still driving around, right? And it's still kind of the afternoon. I mean, 7 o'clock, I can kind of consider it afternoon drive. But Sharon Stone in Casino, like I said, she was there with some stiff. I think she robbed them blind. Anywho, they were on a heater at the Crab's Table. That's the way the Red Sox are right now. Absolutely on fire, which shows you you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse. You just have to win 14 games in a row. It's that simple. But Boston has become buyers here instead of sellers. And things can change that quickly for you. With 2 weeks left to go, sellers could emerge, buyers could emerge, stay putters can emerge. I'm going to stay. I also like to live dangerously. Anything can happen in the next 2 weeks. And I think anything can happen. And also what we saw last year at the trade deadline, which was the best trade or at least the most active trade deadline we've ever seen. If that's any indication of what this year is going to be like, then we're in for a heck of a 2 weeks. And certainly we're in for a heck of a 24 hours once we get to the trade deadline. And to me, the trade deadline right now almost overshadows what's going on the field. I think we know where the Yankees are at. And obviously with the Red Sox breathing down their neck and Tampa, it seems like Tampa's been scuffling for a while, even though they got hot. Tampa hasn't really been able to run away with things. Like I've been saying, Tampa's good, they're not great. They're good, not great. But a lot of things can change in the next 2 weeks, but it's not going to really change much for the Yankees. They are obviously buyers. They are going to the postseason. And the Yankees are awaiting good news and returns. Now, this is according to Aaron Boone. He was on the Talking Yanks podcast. John Boy, Aaron Boone told the world that Max Fried will be back with the club next week to pitch against the White Sox. So that's great news. Max Fried has been out for quite some time. And it's going to be a huge boost to this rotation to get one of the best pitchers in baseball back in the fold, back in the mix. Now, as far as Stanton, and I'm going to read you the quote. Because this is, and everybody talks about all the time, why does Aaron Boone keep his job? why does Aaron Boone, it's been all these years, he hasn't won a championship? And the answer I always give the audience is it's complicated. Remember back in the day on Facebook? Because let's be honest, you ditch Facebook once your Aunt Rose, Uncle Louie, and your mother was on Facebook. Then it's like, let me get the hell out of here. But when Facebook was cool, and they used to have a relationship status, you were either in a relationship, you were married, you were engaged, and then there was the one option for it's complicated, which was basically you'd put that down because you were dating her and you were probably dating six other women. But that's fine. That's really, that's called being young. So you would write, it's complicated. Well, when it comes to Aaron Boone and why he keeps his job, it is complicated. I think there's a lot of reasons why he keeps his job. One of them being is his ability to do these media sessions, do these interviews, meet with the press after the game, and say things that he could get through an answer, and you're just like, what the heck did he just say? What did he mean by that? And here's a perfect example of that. This is, again, we're talking Yanks, the John Boy podcast. Aaron Boone on Stanton's return, or just where Stanton's at, let's put it that way. Because there's been a lot of speculation. There's also been a lot of updates or lack of updates, or he's not doing well, or he's doing well, or there's no timetable, all of that. Here is the latest from Aaron Boone. This was an interview that took place today. Quote, this is about Stanton. Quote, he's actually doing pretty well and should be back in a, quote, reasonable amount of time. Boy. Could you imagine, and I can, by the way, could you imagine you're out with the boys, your wife gives you the okay, or whatever, you're in that relationship where you ask for forgiveness over permission. By the way, both work. I mean, really, you either have a cool wife or you just tell her to go scratch and you just do whatever you want. Either way, you're out with your boys, and perhaps it's a, you know, fun night out, a little couple cigars, maybe a strip club, whatever you're doing. You're not going to church, let's be real. You're not going to the library. So you're hanging out, you're having a nice night, and you feel like you have to pull an ET and phone home. So you get on the phone. I guess now you could text, but whether it's texting or whether you're pulling an ET and you're phoning home, you go to your phone and you tell your wife, listen, honey, I'm actually doing pretty well, and I should be home at a reasonable amount of time. Yeah, I should be home in a reasonable amount of time. You get home 3 weeks later and say, yeah, I thought that was reasonable. What the heck does a reasonable amount of time mean? But this is why Aaron Boone keeps his job, because he can give these type of answers where you're just, he talks to you for 3 minutes, he gives this long answer about Stanton, and then he throws in, well, he's actually doing pretty well. Yeah, okay, he's actually doing pretty well. And he should be back in a reasonable amount of time. Reasonable amount of time. He's been out since the Knicks were playing the Hawks in the playoffs. I'm going to try that one day. I'm just going to go on a holiday, because I've always said this. We here in America, we don't know how to vacation. We don't. Really, if I could teach seminars, sort of a side job here, hopefully, you know, I keep this job and then I have a side job, it would be to teach seminars and to explain why we don't vacation properly around here. You know that, what's that commercial with Drew Barrymore and Orlando Bloom? Well, whatever it is, the cruise ship commercial. And they're like, vacation, holiday, and all that stuff, right? We hear, because it's called holiday, you know, across the pond and in other countries. And the reason it's called holiday is because they start holiday in June and it ends, I think, in like October. So perhaps they tell their loved ones, oh, we'll be back at a reasonable time. But vacation here in America is, well, I'm on vacation, but I'm still answering emails. I'm still, like people in our business, well, I'm still checking in on the sports news. Really? Are you? Why? You'll be back in a week. Well, I just can't disconnect. Don't worry, your key card will work when you return. And that's my sort of theory on it. People are just afraid of things. But it's just like, hey, come on. You could disconnect a little bit. We don't know how to vacation. Where the people across the world, they know how to holiday because they basically throw their phone in the ocean and they're out of the office for 3 months. 3 months. And obviously we have seasonal, like I don't understand teachers are off for the summer, but you know, I used to date a teacher. She wasn't really off in the summer. She was off for the, well, but I promise you in a week, we're going to start seeing back to school shopping, back to school shopping. Didn't the kids just leave school? Now they got to go back to school shopping. And what's wrong with the clothes they had last year? They need new clothes in a new year. Tell them to get a job. Which I guess you technically can't work unless you're a certain age. So that only is applicable to certain kids. But I'm you know what, now that I think about it, I wanted the new threads. You wanted to impress the girl. You know, it's the summer. I was lifting weights and the whole thing. Not that I'd lifted weights, but you know what I mean. If you were to lift weights and you want to come in with the new fresh threads. So I understand that. I respect that. But where was I going with all this? Oh, yeah. So we don't know how to vacation around here. We don't know, but people do know how to holiday, you know, outside of the country. But as far as the reasonable time in this quote from Aaron Boone, where he was on the Talking Yanks podcast, and Aaron Boone tells us that Stanton is, quote, actually, us meaning the Talking Yanks podcast, that Stanton is, quote, actually doing pretty well and should be back in, quote, a reasonable amount of time. Fellas, homework assignment. Next time you're out with the boys, pull this on your wife. Pull this on your wife. Yeah, I'm actually, how's everybody doing there? Well, we're actually doing pretty well. Meanwhile, it's A to the Z. God knows what you're doing. And you quote, I'll be back, honey, in a reasonable amount of time. Let me know how that goes. Let me know how that goes. Yeah, I'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. Meanwhile, you know, Usher's blasting in the background. Or Little John. Clearly, you're at an adult establishment. But you know, I'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. Don't worry about it. And Candy Schiff, she gets out at 3 a.m., so I'll be here till then. I joke, but at the same time, it's like, this is just ridiculous. He's, quote, actually doing pretty well, Stanton, and he'll be back in a, quote, reasonable amount of time. So like I've been saying, your guess is as good as mine as far as when Stanton's coming back, because this is a non-answer as far as I'm concerned. It's up for interpretation. If I went to somebody right now and said, hey, I'm going to give you a reasonable amount of money, right? If that person is filthy rich, they're going to have a different perspective on what a reasonable amount of money is. If it's somebody that is working 9 to 5, you know, grinding through life, the grinders of life, if you hand them whatever dollar amount that you handed the rich person, that grinder of life may say, hell, that was a reasonable amount of money you gave me. So it's all based on perspective. So with how many months left in the season? 2 months? What is exactly a reasonable amount of time? Can you clarify that a little bit? It just, like, to me feels people are starting to jump off the boat here of that Stanton is coming back. So this is Boone's way of saying, no, hold on a second. He'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. He's actually doing pretty well. He's been out for 3 months. And last time we checked, which was, I think, yesterday, it was said that there was no timetable. And now all of a sudden he'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. I'll be back in 5 minutes, honey. I'll be back in 15 minutes. I'll be back in a half hour. I'll be back. You know what? Forget it. I'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. Reasonable amount of time. The door will be locked when you get home. And your key won't work. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. We will get into the Mets a little bit later on here in the show. John Harbaugh has responded to the Cam Scataboo viral video of the backflip at Fanatics Fest, or the failed backflip, I should say. We'll get into that as well. We'll let you know what John Harbaugh had to say about it. Ask Tommy Anything, which I thought was a success last week. I say that because it was the first week we had done it in months, so there's always going to be a little bit of getting back used to it type of show or type of segment with it. I should say. I can't really find the term I'm looking for here. Rosenberg, you want to help me out? When you're trying to get acclimated with somebody, growing pains. I gotcha. There was a little bit of growing pains, I thought, with the Ask Tommy Anything segment last week. Which
you
is okay.
Watched that show? Growing Pains?
Was that the one with, not Doogie Howser. What was the one with, who was the actor in that? Who was the actress in Growing Pains?
I mean, it was the family show about, it was similar to, like,
wait a second, Paul, you're telling me it was a sitcom and it was a family show, meaning every single sitcom that ever existed? What are you talking about? Every sitcom?
Well, sitcom is a situational comedy.
No. That's, but like, when we were younger, Paulie, in the Growing Pains era, it was all a family. So with Elf, it was, well, there's family, and then all of a sudden there's an alien. Or in Full House, well, there's a family, but we're an extended family. Or maybe that was Step by Step. But Full House was kind of like an extended family.
Well, you're thinking of Alan Thicke.
I am thinking of Alan Thicke, but wasn't... Let me look up the whole
entire... Kirk Cameron.
Case. Yes, that's who I was thinking of. Kirk Cameron, who obviously is brother of Candace Cameron. People ask me this all the time, because I love electronic music, and they're always like, who's your favorite DJ? And I tell them all the time, DJ Tanner. Speaking of Full House, and I always thought Candace Cameron was married to Pavel Bure, She's in fact married to Valerie Bure. I always thought it was Pavel Bure, so I've said that a bunch on the air. I'm like, oh, Candace Cameron Bure. She's obviously married to Pavel Bure. No, she's actually married to Valerie Bure. Rosenberg, you're a big hockey guy, but you're looking at me like a deer in the headlights. You have no idea. First of all, do you know who Candace Cameron Bure is?
Yeah, DJ.
Yeah. Did you know she was married to a Bure?
I don't know what a Bure is.
Pavel Bure. Hockey player.
Not a Bure.
Well, what the heck is the difference? You know what I'm saying?
It's not a hat. Pavel Bure is the Russian rocket.
What did I say?
A Bure.
Okay. I think I said Pavel Bure. If that is so far off of how he says his last name, I apologize. But I think you knew what I was talking about. Anywho, when it comes to Full House, because I want to get this point in, and maybe I'm alone in this, but when I was watching TGIF as a young lad, this is before the internet. This is before, you basically lived in the dark back then. You could look this up easily now, but back then, there was no way to find out the information. Unless you were in the know. When they did the sort of the credits at the beginning of it, you know, day by day, people in the way. And they're doing is that Step by Step?
Is that the roller coaster?
No, what the heck is the theme song to Full House? I think I was just singing the theme song to Step by Step. We'll make it better second time around. But what was the Full House theme song? The newsman, the paper boy, the evening TV. I think that's
da-da, everywhere you look.
There's a smile and a place. Somebody who needs you. So, right. So, they do the opening, right? Wonderful singing song. Unique. But the opening credits would tell you everybody, obviously, Bob Saget and John Stamos and Dave Coulier and so on and so forth. Candace Cameron. And then they would get to the screen would say, Mary Kate Ashley Olsen. And I said, well, that's a long name. I thought it was just one person, and her name was Mary Kate Ashley Olsen. I didn't realize there were two of them. Who did? It's not like they came out and said there's two actresses, they're twins. So I thought it was Mary Kate Ashley Olsen. I thought it was just one long name. Ricky Bobby's got two first names. I thought it was just a very long name, Mary Kate Ashley Olsen. Come to find out, and no joke, years and years later, that there were maybe not years and years later, but because then they started doing movies, and then it started being known. And remember, I'm a kid, so perhaps adults knew they were twins on the show, but as far as a young person watching Full House, I didn't know they were twins. So when I saw Mary-Kate Ashley Olsen, I just thought it was one long name. And then I didn't know they had another sister who's a WandaVision or Wanda in the Avengers. Forgot her name. Obviously, her last name is Olsen. Was it? No, it can't be Ashley Olsen. They wouldn't name two daughters Ashley. Elizabeth Olsen. I can't remember stuff from sports, but I can remember females' names. That one I got right. Yeah, Elizabeth Olsen. That's how you doing, by the way. But yeah, so Mary-Kate and Ashley. I just thought it was one long name.
Candace Cameron Bure, 50 years old. 50.
Okay, so let's do the math here. So if she was, on that show, she probably would have been. She portrayed somebody, I think, in like middle school.
Middle
was her
school
character.
To high school.
Yeah, so that was probably relatively, I'm bad at this stuff. Because that was always the thing with the Friends cast, right? Weren't they, by the end, they were obviously a little bit older than what their characters were? That was kind of the tricky part of that. Like, that's one of the reasons why, listen, South Park and The Simpsons can be around forever because cartoons don't age.
So she started in 87 when she was 11, and she went all the way through 95.
95. So she's, okay, so she's like 9 years older than me, or us.
So 11 and to 20,
but this Valerie Bure fella, he played in the NHL, right?
Yeah, wasn't as good as
no, because Pavel. That's what I'm saying. So Pavel, so maybe he gets out a lot. But I swear to you, when I thought she married a Bure, I was like, oh, she married Bure, the Russian Rocket. I think was his nickname. I know puck. I know hockey.
I just told you that 10 minutes ago. It was the Russian Rocket.
I know puck. That's why I'm Tommy Pucks. If you don't think I know puck, well, quite frankly, puck you. I don't really give a puck. I give zero pucks. I probably shouldn't do this bit in the light of day, though, because I'll have to dump myself again. We've already had way too many dumps on this show. I normally stick the landing on that bit, but, you know, you never know. And this is the type of hours where you don't want to miss the landing. All right, we've covered a lot in the first 30 minutes. What did we cover here? We've covered the Yankees, the trade deadline, the Aaron Boone answer. Oh, I never asked who's in Growing Pains. Oh, Kirk Cameron. Right, that's where we... That's right. Who was an Elf then, by the way? Who am I thinking about with that? Who was
Will
I...
Ferrell.
No, that's Elf. You know, stop picking apart my accent. We have the same accent. You're really being a pain in the ass here. And I was going to give you a compliment in the next segment, but now, you know, you're really fishing for a non-compliment. Alan Thicke, of course, Kirk Cameron. I think that's Leonardo DiCaprio was in Growing Pains? No way. No shot. Not as, maybe as a one-time kind of deal here. Maybe as a one-time type of deal.
24 episodes for Leo.
That's a lot. That's
2 years.
2 years, and how many years was Growing Pains on the air? Probably like 6 or 7.
85 to 92.
Okay, but that doesn't mean 7 seasons. That could be like 5 seasons.
Right. So Alan Thicke, who I'm assuming was on every show, had 167 episodes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. And then Kirk Cameron, same type of thing. And then DiCaprio would have been, okay, so he was probably on there. So I don't know. I don't remember his character at all. Now, long way to go. I was not the hugest Growing Pains fan. Nothing against the show. It didn't resonate with me. So my, thank God it's Friday, which I don't even know if Growing Pains was a part of, but my TGF sort of, and we'll get to your calls on sports, I promise. But we're going to have a fun night tonight. We got to ask Tommy anything, trade deadline. If something happens, we'll let you know. That's what we're here for. If something happens in sports, we'll let you know. And we'll tie it back into sports, I promise. We'll take your calls, the whole thing. Ask Tommy anything coming up later. My TGIF when I was growing up was, of course, Family Matters, Stefan Urkel. It was Full House. It was Dinosaurs. Great show, by the way. Underrated show. Not the mama. Not the mama. Pain in the ass, bratty kid. A pain in the ass. Not the mama. Dad comes home from a long day at work with the lunch pail. He's making a minimum wage. Whatever the heck he was doing, the Papa Dinosaur. And this little brat, not the mama, not the mama. Really? Then you're not eating tonight. That's what I would say to him. Tough. Your mom's not home. Mommy's not here. She's got to work 3 jobs because I'm basically a 9-to-5 guy. I'm not rich. We're middle-class dinosaurs. Not the mama. But a very underrated show. And it kind of just disappeared out of nowhere. I don't know if it actually had its like series end, which gets me, I'm all over the place. But Married with Children never had a series finale. Because they got canceled not knowing that the show was ending. And they still went 11 years. Oh, love that show. I love that show. I don't know if a show like that would fly anymore, but I love that show. It came out at the perfect time, the Clinton-free 90s. But so I was, where were the show? Okay, so Full House, we were Family Matters, we were Dinosaurs, and then we were Perfect Strangers, which was that was a good show too. That was pretty much, and Boy Meets World, of course.
And I think you're missing a big one.
I'm missing a big one. So I had Perfect Strangers. I had Boy Meets World. I had Family Matters. Oh, Step by Step.
And I'm thinking of another one.
Right in that early 90s, mid 90s.
Early mid 90s, yeah.
Give me a hint.
It's not a sitcom.
So it's a little bit more of a serious show?
Not a sitcom.
Not a sitcom, but then what would that be that not a sitcom? Because I feel like all the TGIF shows were sitcoms. Terrible hint, by the way. Can you give me a better hint?
No. Not America's Funniest Home Videos, which is also on Friday night.
America's Funniest Home Videos was part of the TGIF family?
Almost positive, because it was Bob Saget who was hosting it.
Of course, but I always thought that show aired nightly. And then Friday, it was just TGIF was the programming. And America's Funny, maybe it was after TGIF, and that was a way to get, but I could have sworn that America's Funniest Home Videos was Monday through Thursday, and then, of course, TGIF was, I could be wrong on that. Someone in the audience will let us know, but I don't remember that being the case. But the shows that I just mentioned, that was sort of the glory days in the wheelhouse of, thank God it's Friday. All great shows. Absolutely tremendous. 888-80, and then Saturday morning, of course, was Saved by the Bell. And wrestling, superstars. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to your calls on the Yankees. We'll get into the Mets. We'll get into what John Harbaugh had to say about Cam Scataboo. We'll do an Ask Tommy Anything coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, which if you're unfamiliar with the segment, I think it pretty much speaks for itself. But it's your chance, once a week chance, to ask me whatever's on your mind. It can be sports. Absolutely can be sports. But you have all day and night and 5 hours a day to ask me about sports. You can hit me up on Twitter about sports. If you want to ask me a question about sports, I'm not hard to find. But this is an opportunity to ask me whatever's on your mind. This is your 1 hour a week chance to do that. That's coming up later in the show, plus your calls throughout the night. It is a big Lugowski. It is a 5 hour after hours. No Yankee game tonight. It has been postponed. It has been rained out. There will be a doubleheader tomorrow that you'll hear here on WFAN. First game, first pitch, 1 o'clock. Second game, 7 o'clock. So I'll have you after the Yankee game tomorrow night, right? Okay, cool. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. Positive Tommy here in primetime. 741 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Rosie now taking over. The glue.
Lugie, enough. Enough. Lugie. My headphones went in and out there. That's why I jumped the drop there. My apologies. That's on me. Because when I plug it all the way in, it's not as loud. But then a little inside baseball. If I plug it all the way in, the little, what do they call this thing here? The plug? What's the adapter?
Quarter inch?
Is that really what we call it, a quarter inch?
A quarter inch adapter.
Adapter's about a quarter inch. What are we, what is it, this old house? What are we, Bob Vila? A quarter inch. Let's stop. That feels very much like engineer talk.
Another 90s show, Bob Vila.
This old house, absolutely. But my quarter inch or my adapter, if I plug it all the way in, it's not as loud. So if I unplug it a little bit, like halfway, I could hear myself even louder, and then I understand why the internet doesn't like my voice, so then I plug it in a little bit better, and then I sound, you know, better. I plug it in a little deeper, I should say. Easy, big fella. And then if I do unplug it a little bit, I can't hear Rosenberg in my ear, which is usually a good thing, but then he has to tell me news sometimes, or he has to type it on a screen. So, but we do have breaking news, by the way, speaking of news. Fine. I guess we should keep up with tradition around here. That's only when the news actually breaks right this second, but fine. We hit the sounder here. Great. All well and good. We know that Rosenberg is awake. It was speculated that Max Fried was going to make his return to the Yankee rotation next week against the White Sox. That, in fact, will not be the case. Great news. It's not like it's been pushed back. It's actually been pushed up. Max Fried will start game two of the doubleheader tomorrow. So game one, Gerrit Cole. Game two, Max Fried. Max Fried makes his return to the Yankee rotation tomorrow. So a massive doubleheader on deck tomorrow. And you'll hear all that action right here on WFAN. Gerrit Cole in game one. Max Fried makes his return to the mound for game two, which is going to be a huge addition to this Yankee rotation. It is the first in what you hope, if you are a Yankee fan and the Yankees, is all three of these guys coming back, starting with Fried, and then we'll see about Stanton and Judge. As far as I'm concerned, I think Aaron Judge will return to the lineup before Giancarlo Stanton. I think you see Aaron Judge early September. As far as Stanton goes, your guess is as good as mine. We had a little fun with this in the opening segment because it's just completely and utterly vague. But Aaron Boone went on the Talking Yanks podcast that he does a weekly spot on with John Boy. And Boone said Stanton is actually, quote, doing actually, how do I want to say this? I don't know why I can't read my own handwriting sometimes. Maybe because I've gotten the worst handwriting as the older I've gotten. But Aaron Boone said Stanton is, quote, actually doing pretty well. And he should be back in a, quote, reasonable amount of time. Which, your guess is as good as mine as far as what that means. That really is not an update. He'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. Imagine being a husband and you're out with the boys and you call up your wife or you text your wife. You're an ET kind of guy. You phone home and you say, honey, I'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. Yeah, sure. I'll see you at 6 in the morning. A reasonable amount of time. Can you elaborate on that, Aaron? When exactly Stanton will be back to the lineup? There's only 2 months left in the regular season. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And the American League East is certainly heating up. I mean, obviously, Tampa and Yankees have been kind of the standard all season, but the Red Sox are on fire. They're on an all-time heater. 14 wins in a row, which they cannot build on tonight because I believe their game has been postponed. Let me double-check. Yeah. Yep, it has been. Where were they playing then, Philly? Where was the rain hitting them? Oh, in Boston. Well, I mean, they could have been on the road. No, Philly's playing the Dodgers. That's right. Boston is at home. Playing the Tigers, I want to say. But Orioles, either way. You know, Orioles, Tigers, doesn't matter. They're playing a team in the American League. But they are playing Boston in Boston. The weather on the East Coast is absolutely miserable tonight. There are apparently tornado warnings in effect for the next hour or so. Are these real tornado warnings, though, Rosenberg, or is this your fear-mongering? Because it feels like you're fear-mongering.
No, this
you're
was
fear-monger.
So there was a tornado watch. There was a tornado on the ground, spotted radar, and on the ground in Jersey a few hours ago.
What does that mean?
There was a tornado on the ground. So a tornado,
what does that mean, though? You mean, what's the difference between watch and a warning?
All right. Tornado watch is when the atmosphere conditions are applicable for a tornado to pop up.
All right, now do it in English. So meaning that there's a chance it could happen.
A chance it could happen.
Got it.
A warning is that it's happening.
Gotcha.
It's currently happening. Take cover.
Well, isn't that a little too late once they give a warning for tornado? Shouldn't you be warning people way ahead of time?
Well,
once the tornado's here, what the heck does a warning do for me? I'm in the tornado at that point.
Well, typically they would have in other areas, they have like, you know, in Twister, they have like the lights and the sirens.
That's a movie,
stuff.
Though.
No, but that actually happens in Oklahoma.
It's not a documentary, though. It's
in
a movie.
Kansas, Texas,
but we're not
Nebraska.
In Kansas anymore, Toto.
Right, we don't have tornado sirens that go off, Tommy.
I understand that, Paul.
Now, if you were listening and paying attention at Paul's randomness.
No one's listening or paying attention.
You could have seen. I told everyone.
You didn't
what
tell
was
anybody. You
today.
Told your 14 followers. And then you had the gall and the nerve before I was about to come on the air in the greatest radio station in the world to do my job. You whispered in my ear, sweet nothings, about why didn't I retweet your videos? What am I? What am I? Just the guy that retweets your videos? Is that the friendship contract we have?
You retweet other videos.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Well,
you
my retweet, videos.
Yeah, your videos.
Yeah, my videos.
Very selfish.
Of course I am. Why would I retweet your videos?
Because you're my best friend.
But here's the difference, though. I am retweeting sports. You are tweeting fear-mongering.
It is not.
You want everybody hiding under their desks.
No, this was live footage I got from...
What do you mean live footage? What are you, out in the field? You went up to our beautiful rooftop here at 345 Hudson Street. Our bougie rooftop. You were not out in the field. You were at our, basically we have an infinity pool up there, and you were chilling, and you were taking videos of the sky. And you want me to retweet that to all my millions of followers?
Millions?
Well, maybe a little less than that, but it feels like millions at times. After a Met loss, it feels like I have millions of followers whenever I tweet anything.
23,500.
But
you
got to round up on that, though. You got to round up on that.
All right, so 24,000.
Okay, so 24,000. So my millions of followers, they get my stuff that I do here on The Fan, of course. I want to build the brand. But as far as retweeting your dopey videos about tornadoes, well, not that tornadoes are dopey, but you're dopey. So I don't really want to have your mug all over my feed or all over my account, I should say. And I don't like the fact that you pester me to do this type of stuff. Why do you do that? If I want to do it, I'll do it. But the idea that you ask for me to do it is ridiculous. And you pick and choose what events you want to be a part of. Where were you last week with all the smoke in the air? Because it's your off days? That's why? So if there's any kind of natural disaster on Paul Rosenberg's off days, he will not document it on his social media account.
No, I absolutely
you're a part-time,
will.
You're a part-time
Here's
meteorologist.
The thing with the smoke. You can't see it.
Yes, you can.
It's very hazy. It's not good.
Yeah, but that's the smoke that you're looking at.
It's not applicable to the eye. Today.
What are you talking about? The sky was dark and cloudy for 48 straight hours last week.
Today, there was incredible shelf clouds moving from New Jersey.
What?
To the city. A supercell occurred.
You're an idiot.
Right over the Empire State Building.
What are you talking about?
I have the footage on my Twitter, at Paul's Randomness.
Stop it.
At pictures. That's the difference.
Okay. Was it an actual tornado, or was it the super...
We didn't, to my knowledge, there was not a tornado that touched down in New York City. There was one.
What's the percentage of the tornado hitting us right now?
Right now, none, because there, I mean,
so what do you mean none? You just told me we had a warning and a watch. What do you mean then?
Well, we're in a tornado watch, which means the atmosphere conditions, a tornado could
So it's kind of like you're driving, let's say you're driving and you feel a little something in your stomach. There's a potential for you to have to stop to go to the bathroom, but it's not clear.
If you have some bubble guts, sure.
Sure. Well, very eloquently put. But it's not clear and present danger is what you're telling me. That's more when you're running into a Fuddrucker somewhere or a Cracker Barrel on an exit. And now at that point, you're just... Time is... Yeah, it's a race against time. We've all been there.
Yes.
You know, and then... Because let's be honest. None of us want to go at a rest stop. No, none of us want to go at a rest stop. But you're at a situation where you're driving and there's really nowhere else to go. You can't stop at the Ritz-Carlton. So you're like, all right, there's a Fuddrucker's. I'm going to get off. Do Fuddrucker's exist anymore?
No, and
Love
I don't
me
think Fuddrucker's are at rest stops.
Cracker Barrel, though. Well, rest stops is more like your Roy Rogers and your Sbarro.
Rogers?
Yes.
That's not around anymore.
Yes, it is. It's on the first stop on the...
Roy Rogers?
On the Garden State Parkway.
Sbarro?
Do they still call that the John Bon Jovi Parkway or whatever? I mean, he's... John Bon Jovi. I mean, he's a Patriot fan, so I don't know why we're idolizing him in New Jersey, but anywho.
Starbucks, Auntie Anne's, McDonald's,
Auntie
Burger
Anne's? King. What are you talking... It's Aunt Annie's. What do you mean Auntie Anne's?
Aunt Annie's?
You call it Annie. What did you just call it? Auntie Anne's? It's Aunt Annie's Pretzels. By the way, I go regular or cinnamon there.
Cinnamon is the go every time.
My wife recently just bought these pretzels that are basically cinnamon flavored or whatever you want to call it. Cinnamon sort of...
Sugar? Dust?
Yeah. But yeah, dusted on the pretzel. It is dangerous. I have to hide it. I tell her, you have to hide this because I'm going to eat it in one day, in one sitting. Cinnamon and pretzels?
Is it the dots, the purple bag?
Yes. It's exactly what it is.
I know.
You do know.
Those are dangerous.
But the Roy Rogers is at the John Bon Jovi or whatever rest stop is the first rest stop on the Garden State or Jersey Turnpike, either one. There's a Roy Rogers. It's been there forever. Anybody that's gone from New York to Six Flags has stopped there for some Roy Rogers. What would you get at Roy Rogers? I don't even remember. Chicken sandwich or something like that? Beef? It's there. Somebody confirmed that. It's still there.
So some news from the National Weather Service just came over. The tornado watch has been canceled. It is no longer in effect for New York City. Severe weather.
So once again, you're a fear-monger.
I'm not.
You're
just
a fear-monger.
No.
You want people to hide
canceled.
Under their desk. You like to push
just
fear.
Canceled.
You want people to just live in fear. That's what you want.
I don't. It was just canceled. The wonderful New York Metro weather account on
Twitter is just, he's the best. And he just alerted me to
that. But you're the worst because you're out there on a rooftop here. And by the way, what are you doing up there? You shouldn't. Do you even have access up there? That's not what the purpose of that rooftop is for.
Oh,
the purpose of that rooftop is to work. It's for leisure, to hang out, to have a watch party up there. And you're up there doing your own stuff up there, doing your own bidding.
No, it wasn't.
I'm going to have your key card revoked from you.
It wasn't.
I'm going to email upper management and say Paul Rosenberg is basically up there on work time.
Well, that'll be the second email about me today. Because I asked them about that card that you told me to ask them about today.
No, you didn't. You weren't supposed to do that. You weren't supposed to tell them that. You emailed them about the company credit card that
I
told. That's not what
I did.
No, I told you not to do that. I told you to come to me offline, and I was going to tell you who the cardholder is, and you were going to go to that person, because I've known that person forever, and we've obviously been coworkers forever, and you were, on my behalf, going to ask this person for the card. And you're going to say, Lugie needs it, and we'll get it right back to you. They know we're not skipping town. We're not going to Vegas with Paul and Yonkers with the credit card. We just need to buy something for the show. Meanwhile, you're bothering upper management. We're nearing contract season. We don't need to be bothering upper management with anything like that.
The upperest of a management.
You did not go to the tippy top. Please tell me you didn't go to the tippy top. You went to the tippy top?
And there was some other news that came out today about Augustine WFA, which is why they didn't get back to me.
News is news, but I mean, the tippy top, you don't be bothering the tippy top with stuff like that. I told you to come to me privately. Richard joins us from Manhattan here on After Hours. It is Positive Tommy in Prime Time. Richard, what can I do for you?
Tommy, do you remember the two TV shows with Paul Reiser?
Yes.
Hold on a second. Mad About You. They were
Mad
great.
About You is a tremendous show. Mad About You is
phenomenal. He's a very underrated comedian. I agree with you.
And he did and I'm sure you're not a Stranger Things fan, but he did, I think, a season of that show. He might have did more than that, but he was on Stranger Things for
And then what about the show with Valerie Bertinelli and Mackenzie Phillips? That was good.
That one I don't know. Maybe I just am unfamiliar with the names.
That was in the 80s. And then there was a show with Ted Knight where he was the father of two daughters. Do you remember that one?
Well, hold on a second. You got to remember this too, Richard. I'm 40, so my range
is
more in the 90s.
That was late 80s. Yeah.
So if you're doing late 80s, I'm going to be two years old and in all likelihood not watching sitcoms.
Okay, but those were some great shows back then. All right, so you're around with the guy Tim Smith, Tim Allen.
Of course.
He is great.
Home Improvement. Home Improvement was basically our introduction to Pam Anderson.
Yep, he was good, and Ted Danson was good when he did Becker after he...
Yeah.
Fantastic. These guys were great.
Now that we're on the topic of TV shows, maybe it's not the best, but would you argue at least top three Frasier as far as spinoff TV shows of all time?
Oh, no. Other TV spinoffs.
Really?
From Mary Tyler Moore.
The Jeffersons was a spinoff too, right?
Valerie Harper.
Golden Girls was a spinoff as well, I believe.
Yep.
Because Moore, right? That was the cast or something like that?
Mary Tyler Moore had her own show after the
Dick Van Dyke. Frasier was a very successful
television show. Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
A little sophisticated for me.
Oh, really? A little too hoity-toity? A little bit too...
A little bit. I liked it more comedy and that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
I thought Ted Danson was... He and Tim Allen, boy, they were fast. I thought they were both better than Seinfeld, and everyone thinks Seinfeld's
I can't go that far with you. As you know, I'm close personal friends with Jerry, and Seinfeld's also my favorite show. But I was a big fan of Home Improvement. Now, Cheers was a little bit before my lifetime, but I was there at kind of the tail end of it. But obviously,
Becker, you must have seen. Becker was great, where
what
he plays
a
doctor. Becker, where he plays a physician in an inner city
When I think of Ted Danson now, I think of Curb Your Enthusiasm, because he's got such a great relationship with Larry. I mean, his parts in that show are very funny. I think more of that and then Cheers.
All right, Tommy, as far as the Red Sox you touched on, they're going to be the only team in sports history, all four sports, and you go back 100 years, I think. I mean, I don't know this for a fact. Two teams that have had, that were 14, 15 games under, and then went on a 14, 15 game winning streak, and they're still going. It's unbelievable.
Insane.
Everyone says the American League is weak.
It is.
But the Yankees got to face a surging Boston
and
a very, very good Tampa team. Those are two tough teams.
I'm not ready to say that Tampa is very good. I do think they're good. I'm not sure about very good. You're right about Boston. They are surging. Now, Richard, the key here is, especially from a Yankee fan's perspective, is what is Boston going to do with the deadline? Are they going to look to improve on this team?
They don't have to do anything. They're doing doing great now.
I understand that, but they're not going to win 60 games in a row.
We are not.
No, they're not, Richard.
Profile. Richard. We're just seeing what they're doing now. And I got news for
they're
you.
They're not winning 60 games in a row. There's not 60
Chapman?
Games left. Yeah.
Tommy, he's got a chance. If he has under 2 ERA, he saves over 40 games, and Boston wins the pennant? Are you kidding? He's your Cy Young winner.
Cy Young.
Guy is great.
Yeah.
Very underrated. Very, very underrated.
I don't know if Chapman's underrated, but as far as their pitching, Boston has a ton of pitching. They've got to the point now where they've gotten hot at probably just the right time, right?
You want historically to hot. I mean,
I think 15 is the most amount of wins in their franchise's history, which they can get tomorrow. But the idea of getting hot at the right time, late July is a perfect time to sort of take off, and that could carry you to a championship. I mean,
Tommy,
it really can.
If both the Phillies and Red Sox get to the World Series, this will be the first time in any of the four major sports, and I bet you it'll be the last time ever in the four major sports where two teams meet in a championship game and fired their managers during the season. That's unbelievable. For it to happen to one team, I think I can only remember Billy Martin, Bob Lemon, and Jacques Lemaire.
Larry Robinson, Jacques Lemaire. Yeah, well, McKeon, didn't he take over the Marlins?
Okay, another one. Yeah. No, but they didn't win the World Series, though, McKeon.
Yeah, they did.
Did he win it? Okay.
Yeah, Florida
all right.
won the World Series that year.
Okay, so that's one team.
Right.
But you know, to get two teams? That's
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
So this is some sort of major, major historic thing. And as far as the Yankees go, Tommy, they do not play baseball. You know what John used to say? Susan, that's baseball?
Yes.
Yankees do not play baseball at all, Susan, because the game against Yamamoto, I'm at the game Sunday afternoon. They're down 3-1 in the seventh inning. Leadoff double by Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I go back to Koufax and Gibson and Whitey Ford. When you were down like that to an ace,
you
didn't play for a big inning.
Yeah.
You played one run at a time.
Yep.
Leadoff
sport
double,
now,
get
though.
The guy over the third.
Sport. But it's no excuse, but Richard, you're right, though, in the, as far as you could instill a little bit of the old school, I think, with the new school, and I think sometimes the Yankees just... But you know what? They're an all-or-nothing team. They're a home run.
That's
what
they are.
But that's what they've always been.
So,
or at least in the show.
Dominguez gets up, and the first pitch, he pops up to the center field.
Right.
Instead of getting that guy over to third and let Bellinger drive him, and which he did do, he hit a high fly ball.
Right.
But it didn't get the running because the man on second stayed on second.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying they would have won the game, but it would have been 3-2. You go into the eighth and ninth inning, and maybe you got it. They do not play the game the right way, Tommy. That's the problem.
Yeah,
you can change all the players. Their mentality, they don't know how to steal runs.
Right.
They win only by home runs. If they don't hit home runs, they're not going to win. It's been like that with Boone. I don't care if you get Arias and all. They'll make him into a home run hitter.
That's going to be tough to do because he doesn't hit a lot of home runs. But their approach, the Yankees' approach against Yamamoto on Sunday was deplorable. It just was. And it was to the point where Yamamoto had basically 40 pitches and it was the sixth inning. And that's why Yamamoto was able to go the entire distance. But yeah, the Yankees' approach that day was bad. And look, it's the same old song and dance with them sometimes. As far as their inability, which bites them more in the ass in October, because obviously the games are magnified and it's a short series, and if you lose a couple games, it's your history. But it's that situational hitting, it's that clutch hitting, it's that high average hitting, it's guys on base, runners in scoring position, where the Yankees where they can't rely on the home run all the time, where the Yankees have fallen short. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, Max Fried will make his return tomorrow. It's a doubleheader. No Susan tonight, no Dave, no Emmanuel, no Yankee game. It is a postponement, but there will be a doubleheader tomorrow, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Gerrit Cole in the first game, Max Fried in the second game tomorrow. So a very, very jam-packed day on the Fan tomorrow with tons of Yankee baseball. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We will get into the Mets. We will get into what John Harbaugh had to say about Cam Scatabu's failed backflip attempt at Fanatics. We'll continue to take your calls on the Yankees and the trade deadline. And apparently, I've been saying Aunt Annie's pretzels wrong my entire life, which is no real surprise because I said, I used to call them dungaroos instead of dunkaroos. So I don't know if that's the Mandela effect or the butterfly effect or whatever effect it is. Maybe I'm just a little stunned. I don't know. But I always called it a dungaroos, but apparently they're dunkaroos. But we're going to find out exactly how you're supposed to pronounce it, plus some other things with TV shows and a lot on the menu here, let's just say the least. And we haven't asked Tommy anything coming up in an hour or so. So a very jam-packed Big Lugowski, a five-hour after hours here on The Fan. If you want to join the conversation and you haven't already, it's 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.